compatriots, colleagues, comrades, very welcome to this very last session. I'm almost urged to say very at last, very at last. But in any case, this is our last meeting or public participation process of the Western Cape Provincial School Education Amendment Bill. This is our sixth one. And very welcome to all of you. Board of the time to come along. I'm very grateful for what I'm seeing. Of course, we are discussing some core critical issues, some controversial and topical and contentious issues. And I want voices to be heard in no uncertain terms. People to say what they think in terms of the province, in terms of the country, in terms of our learners, in terms of educators, in terms of our school communities, and also to make their feelings and also their emotions and their whole psyche known. Can we just bow our heads for a minute of meditation? I think we need this for this book. Thank you so much. This is a 2-hour session. Starting at, we were supposed to start at 6:30 until 8:30, but because of certain logistical issues, we started a bit late, but we'll see how far we got. I'm sure you will welcome, so feel welcome, all of you, in the first instance, members of the public, all those who belong to structured organizations, role players and stakeholders, and also individuals, trade unionists, Equal Education is here, SATU is here, and the unions are here, and everybody who counts, they are present. And this is what we want. We want the whole spectrum in terms of representativity to get to the core of the matter. I just want to inform all of us that interpretation services are available. So welcome to the interpreters as well, the language practitioners. And a hearty welcome to the members of the WCD, the officials who are going to do the presentation for us. They will get 20 minutes in which to do the presentation, as well as the members of the Standing Committee on Education. I'll kick off by introducing the members. My name is Basil Kavido. Very funny surname, but it's okay. Kavido, I'm the chairperson of the Standing Committee on Education. Next to me is Wasima Hassan Musa. She is a coordinator of the Education Standing Committee, my left and right hand, and really a pillar of strength. And where's Mr. Ben Daza, our senior coordinator? I think he popped out for a few minutes. But in any case, I'm going to ask the rest of the members to introduce themselves, starting with you, Member Botha.
Good evening, Chair. Good evening, everybody. Lorraine Botha.
Thank you, Voorzitter. Goeienaand, Dylan Mitchell.
Good evening, Chair. Cameron Dutton.
Good evening, fellow Christians.
Regional Chair. Thank you so much for the intros. And now to the WCD, the officials, if they can just introduce themselves.
Sigalwani Naika. Dalma Tiriso.
Len McCullery-Zolls, good evening.
Archie Lewis.
Thank you so much, and to all of you, Hearty welcome. And as I said, we can would only introduce the committee as well as the WCED officials, but that doesn't make you less important than the rest. I believe in the principle of equity, equality. We are all here standing in for the same issue or the same cause. So all of us are important as we are sitting here tonight. The Western Cape Provincial School Education Amendment Bill B1 2018 was referred to the Standing Committee on Education on 15 December 2017. In accordance with the standing rules of the Western Cape Provincial Parliament, the Western Cape Education Department briefed the committee on the content of the bill on 17 April 2018. After due deliberation and consideration, the committee undertook to conduct 6 public hearings on the bill, of which this is the 6th and final public hearing. Letters were forwarded to stakeholders to inform them of and to encourage them to participate in these hearings. In addition, the committee has advertised the bill in print media, social media such as Twitter and Facebook, as well as local radio stations in the respective areas where public hearings would be held. The Standing Committee will meet sometime in 2018 after the hearings to consider all inputs on the amendment bill. The closing date for written submissions is Friday, 24 August 2018, and must be addressed to Ms. Wasima Hassan-Musa, our committee coordinator. We have received a request to make oral submissions from Equal Education in the person of Mr. Renee McFarlane and Aptoza in the person of Mr. Chris Hart. And I've just been informed by my colleague, Member Cameron Dagmore, that there was also a request made by Mr. Jonathan Rossen from SATU, as well as the ANC in the person of Mr. John Schirma. So these two comrades are also going to make their respective inputs. If there are any members of the public who would like to make oral submissions today, it will follow the two requested, or the four requested already on the program. Advocate Lynn Coleridge-Zilts, together with colleagues, will brief the meeting on the content of the amendment bill. Advocate Coleridge-Zilts, you have 20 minutes to present on the bill. Oral submissions on bill. You're welcome.
Submission so that I can leave because I got other work also to do.
Thank you for your input, member.
My name is Abdurrahman Khan. I'm from Mayor Movement Against Illegitimate Leaders.
Thank you, Mr. Khan. Yes, member.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to, for the record, state that it's not the DA hosting this public hearing, but the Standing Committee on Education. I just want to, for the record, state that.
I just want to reiterate also, thank you very much, Mr. Khan. And I won't say it's being done out of disregard, because the arrangements and also the protocol and logistics are not being done by the Standing Committee. And it's not a matter of the DA also, or whichever party is deciding on this. This committee is an inter-party committee. So we don't look at party politics. We look at the issue at hand. But from my side and as chairperson, I apologize. And really, it's a pity that a thing like this should happen. But in future, let us pray, God, that such a thing never happens again. Okay, Mr. Khan. All speakers must indicate their name, as Mr. Khan did now, and surname, and indicate if they are representing an organization or if they are speaking in a personal capacity. And each speaker has 10 minutes to present his or her case. Maximum of 10 minutes. There was a request, Mr. Khan. I know your feeling. I have great respect for that. But there was a request made by Mr. Donovan Rustin to put Sato's case first. Mr. Donovan Rustin, welcome. I must also say that we have a written submission of Sato as well. Thank you. Gesjaal die mekaar benaam. U is opgestaan, u het 3 uur opgestaan vanoggend. En is een lang dag. Met die presentatie is presented by Advocate Coleridge Zultz, and then after that, the inputs. Thank you so much. Sorry for the slip. It's only human. To err is human, to forgive divine.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. We appreciate it. Just for the record, I'd also like to place on record that the WCED did not arrange the dates for these meetings, and it's out of our control in our hands, and it's within provincial parliament's control. So I also just want to clarify that position, Chair. I'll start off with the background to the amendment bill. Just to sketch the scenario that this bill is really underpinned with an emphasis upon quality education outcomes, accountability and transparency. And as you see, as I work through the bill and my colleagues, you will note and we're hoping that that will be reflected in the conversation this evening. Our Act was promulgated in 1997. It was amended in 2010, and this would be its second amendment before Provincial Parliament. We published it on the 30th of August 2016. It was out for comment until 23rd September. And I just want to comment that there's been lots of adaptations to the original version of the bill. Especially you will see the alcoholic clause and exception there too. Lots of changes in regard to collaboration schools, but I will move forward. Just in terms of the overview of the bill, there were national developments for adult education and training falling into higher education, and therefore there is this amendment. We have monitoring and support of curriculum delivery in the classroom. School evaluation authorities made provision for. We have new types of schools, a collaboration school and donor-funded schools. We also have made provision for intervention facilities, and Dr. Naika will brief us deeply on that. Technical amendments, testing at special and focused schools. This is different to SASA in a sense that we're saying if you have a barrier to learning, for instance, we're saying that surely a school must be allowed to test the learner's capabilities and what is required and where to place those learners, even looking at sports schools and so forth. Written consent of parents for excursions is provided for, and also for the minister to make regulations in this regard. Chairperson, there are new definitions that's in the education landscape, and I will move to slide 5, where we talk about a donor, and we are saying a donor provides funds or property to a collaboration school or a donor-funded public school for the purposes of supporting that school so as to develop a sustainable model for improved education outcomes. On your next slide, you will also see a definition of an operating partner. And just for clarity, operating partner only falls into the category of collaboration schools and not donor-funded schools. And it's important to note that it's a non-profit organization that is authorized to place its capacity, skills, or resources at the disposal of a collaboration school to empower the governing body, school management team, and educators at the school to develop systems, structures, cultures, and capacities necessary to deliver quality education. You will also note for the first time in law there is a definition for a school improvement plan and also a subject advisor, which was also lacking in the law. Chairperson, for the purposes of time, I'll move to the next slide, and that is slide 8, where we talk about monitoring and support in the classroom. And what are we saying here? We're saying that there's a common opinion where our educators proffer the argument that no one is allowed in the classroom whilst they deliver the curriculum to learners in the classroom. And this provision really ensures access to the classroom, as research shows that monitoring and support is a vital element in improving learner outcomes. It helps schools to improve, it provides feedback, and identifies professional development needs, so their knowledge and experience really grows. And that is really just a quick background as to why we say monitoring and support is important. Who is going to monitor and able to monitor an educator in the classroom? And you will note we talk about monitoring and support. It's just not monitoring. This is not going to be used as a whip. And so we say a head of department, a district director, a principal, and an operating partner. An operating partner is only in relation to collaboration schools, and we're saying this operating partner has various employees and members that have different skills, and we expect them to use a person that has got the curriculum expertise. Also authorized is a subject advisor, a deputy principal, a head of department, and a subject head. We also ask ourselves, so who is good to be able to monitor a principal in the classroom? And we say it's the head of department, a district director, a circuit manager, authorized representative of an operating partner. And we're also making provision for the head of department to make rules for monitoring and support in the classroom. So it's not going to be arbitrary. There's definitely going to be a set of criteria and rules as to how this is going to go about. Chair, I will move to the next slide, and that is dealing with the Education Council. And this is really just an accountability mechanism that we've brought into the bill, where the council provides advice to the minister. And here we are saying that the minister has an onus to inform the chairperson and the council of his or her decision in terms of recommendations made to the minister. So this brings back the accountability frameworks to say, yes, I do accept your recommendations from the Education Council, or no, I do not support the recommendations, and these are my reasons. And that was lacking in our previous version of our Act, and that is what we're talking about. We're talking about accountability and transparency. Moving forward, Chairperson, we have a new body, and that is the Schools Evaluation Authority. You will note that this is a new body to evaluate schools, and the Minister is empowered to establish the Schools Evaluation Authority. She or he also appoints a Chief Evaluator, and it's for 4 years non-renewable term. The Chief Evaluator, and this is very important, will appoint his or her staff. So he or she will appoint lead evaluators and evaluators, and that brings in the objectivity, credibility, where it is taken out of the minister's hands in a sense, in just appointing the Chief Evaluator. You will note that schools will be evaluated and be given 2 days' notice, not like your whole school evaluation model. And in instances, we can also provide no notice to schools in instances where it is required and it is necessary for us to do so. This notice is delivered to the district director, the principal, and the governing body of the school. And what we're saying here is that the SEA writes a report, makes recommendations and findings about that particular school. Importantly to note, we're saying that these findings and recommendations will be made public. And there we go in terms of transparency once again. This is just to say what exactly is happening at a particular school. And these schools will also be identified in accordance with a list. So the Chief Evaluator will decide which schools they will monitor for the course of a particular term. And it will be various schools, and it's not as if it's going to be a mixture of schools, and it's not just going to be your underperforming schools. As you know, every school is different, and every school has a different set of issues that still also needs to be dealt with. So it's not going to be naming and shaming, Chairperson, and we're also going to look at the context of schools, and as you know, with this SEA, you will note that two schools can be close in one environment, for instance, Khayelitsha, yet one school performs better than the other school, and we're asking ourselves, so why is that? And that is exactly what the SEA is going to do, and to determine what makes a good school. Chairperson, there's going to be various domains we're going to be focusing on, which is really material, and that is learner achievement, teaching and learning, behavior and safety, leadership and management, governance, parents and community. So this is not about compliance. The SEA is not going to do a compliance check. For instance, do you have an admissions policy? Do you have sufficient toilets? And so forth. We have infrastructure units that does that and deals on those issues that we also are also required to report to national on these various factors. So it's not as if we are abandoning the model of whole school evaluation. It is an adaptation chair, and it is complementary to the system. And the head of department must consider the findings and implement measures to facilitate improvement. And I think you can see there's a duty there, and therefore there is this distinction between the head of the department to implement and facilitate measures to improve quality education, and where that chief evaluator is going to identify the schools in a credible and objective way and not in an arbitrary way. Previously, a head of department would determine which schools to visit. And here we're saying we need an expert, someone with expert knowledge in education, to actually make a decision as to which schools they are going to monitor. And therefore, that objectivity really is important for us. So so that we can come out with credible findings that's open and transparent, and that parents can see exactly what is happening at their school in their communities. Chairperson, there's also regulations that will be affected, and that's on slide 11. I won't go into detail, but are we really saying why is whole school evaluation or school evaluation important? It is really that learners get one chance at their education, and we have to drive school improvement, and we need to protect our young people, diagnose problems at schools because of the potential impact on learner outcomes. And this is about quality education, Chair, for every learner in every classroom, in every school in the province, and we want to ensure that they have that quality and to make sure that we as a department provide them with the necessary quality education. We make provision for collaboration schools and donor-funded schools. I'm just going to mention that donor-funded schools is really just in relation to the SGB having a part of the composition of the SGB, so there's no operating partner involved. It's just a donor donating, whether it's a building, donating funds to schools, and where they have a say on the governing body. Also a 50-50 kind of relationship if it is requested, and if the school governing body itself wants more representation, it will go to the minister for approval and if there's good cause shown, Chair. I will now move to collaboration schools, and our DDG, Mr. Tao Matsidiso, will take over from there. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I will do a presentation on collaboration and donor-funded schools, which is covered under Section 12 in the Amendment Bill. And in terms of Section 12C and 12D, there's provision made for collaboration schools and donor-funded schools, respectively. And I will explain more in terms of the procedure that we follow to declare school a collaboration school. Firstly, in terms of the model, there are two parties that are involved at the initial stage, which are the donor group and the Western Cape Education Department. These two parties enter into a memorandum of agreement. And once the memorandum of agreement is signed, then the donor group, who will be funding the schools or supporting the schools, will enter into a funding agreement with the operating, with the school operating partner. The school operating partner is a partner which is going to be based at the school to support the school in terms of resources and other support that the school needs. And once the school operating partner has been identified, the Western Cape Education Department, the school operating partner, and the public school will enter into an operating and service level agreements, which means the school will now be declared a collaboration school. And by a collaboration school, before the school becomes declared a collaboration school, there's a procedure that has to be followed. First of all, the department will make an opportunity available to all schools, public ordinary schools in the province, to say we have this model of collaboration school, and if you are interested, you may apply to the head of the department, and the school governing body of the school will have an opportunity to apply to the head of the department. And once the application is received, the head of the department will apply his or her mind to consider the application, and the application may be approved or not approved. The main elements that are taken into consideration to consider applications is the school should be a no-fee paying school, and secondly, where improvement in terms of learning outcomes are poor. So those are the two main criteria that will be considered, including other factors which may be impact on the school performance. And in terms of Section 12C9,
It makes provision for governance model and advocate college results has already alluded to that, which means it looks at the composition of the school governing body at the school. And provision is made for a 50-50 split between the operating partner and the other party, which is parents, educators, non-educators, and learner representatives, which can comprise of 50%. And it also makes a provision in terms of where there is a dispute, that the parents will be called, there will be a parent meeting to decide on whether the matter that is being disputed is favored by parents or not. And if it's not favored by the parents, then a different decision will be taken, which will favor the majority of the parents. And we have given the definition of a collaboration school and the donor funded schools in the presentation. I think that is all on the collaboration schools. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure all of you would agree that expulsion from school is a harsh action. And the context we find ourselves in education at the moment, many children find themselves exposed to this risk. So what the intervention facility is it's an alternative to expulsion. And in the Western Cape, we have done an analysis of behavior challenges, and we find this to be the most appropriate solution. So it involves psychological, social, and therapeutic support. But it's one intervention that is supported by a range of other smaller steps or other steps that could be more preventative. So we have a preventative model, and the intervention model is at the top. So it's actually the last resort. And just to add that it has to be referred by the HOD, and it helps learners who are recommended for expulsion or suspended who has a sanction up to a period of 12 months and subject to parental consent. And we provide therapeutic programs and interventions so that children receive access to education. And after the completion of the referral, learners return to school. Thank you, Jane.
Our DDG, Mr. Archie Lewis, will deal with the alcoholic liquor, the exceptions clause.
Mr. Chair, I will try to be brief on this matter. Section 23 of the bill makes provision for an addition to Section 45 of the Principal Act, which deals with the consumption or the sale of alcohol on school premises, but also at school activities. The current status of Section 45 actually says that the sale of alcohol on the school premises or the consumption of alcohol on the school premises or the sale of alcohol at a school activity or the sale and consumption of alcohol at the school activity is not prohibited. It's illegal in terms of the Act. A school activity can be anything from something that the school hosts on the school premises. A school activity can also be a function, like a dance that the school arranges off the school premises. A school activity can be on a Saturday where schools and learners congregate to have sports. Out of all those activities that I've mentioned, the use of alcohol or the sale of alcohol is prohibited. Now currently, these things happen in our schools. schools have, especially in the metro, have fairs over a weekend where they have beer gardens, where they sell alcohol to the community as part of that event. Schools have dances, be it in the school hall or outside in the community, where either they sell or parents come to that school activity with alcohol. And you can see how extremely difficult and complex it is. So what this section is doing, it's an exception to the current clause. What it is actually saying, it says that if a school wants to sell alcohol or use alcohol at a school activity, the school must apply for permission from the head of the department to do so. The head of the department will apply his or her mind and then grant that permission. But when the head of the department grants that permission, it will go with certain conditions. But then it is also important that schools who do this must remember that the permission from the head of the department is not the only permission that you will have to sort as a school. Even if the head of the department grants that permission, the school still needs to apply to the liquor board for a temporary liquor license. The school still have to apply to the local municipality. And the reason for the application to the local municipality is that the school is zoned as education. In other words, what must happen on a school premises is education. So if anyone wants to do anything else on a school premises, you must apply to the local municipality to ask for a deviation of the zoning of that specific area for a specific time. So it's quite complex. It's not only the permission of the head of the department, that is one side, but there are other legal imperatives that the school will have to obey. And then, of course, no alcohol can be consumed or sold during school times on school premises. And as I say, it's an exception clause to the current Section 45 of the Principal Act. Thank you.
I think the Waste Committee, the WCD officials, Advocate Coleridge, Jones, Mr. Archie Lewis, Mr. Tom Andrezito, and Dr. Pat Naika, for your inputs. And may I also say that it's very synoptic, unfortunately, because of time constraints, you know, it's always a problem. Mm-hmm. But I think you've done your bit. Now it's time for the public, the most important people around, in this hall, in this space, to air your views, to speak without hindrance or impediments, but to say what you want to say. You have the opportunity now and to voice and to raise your opinions. Not the voices. Don't raise a voice. Raise your abilities. Yeah. All right. So I think we have five people who've indicated here, and I'm going to call them in this order. Number one, the first one to speak is Mr. Donovan Rustin from SATU. Then we have Mr. Khan. Then we have number three, Equal Education, in the person of Renee McFarlane. Mm. And four, Neptosa, Mr. Chris Hart. And five, the Progressive Professional Forum, represented by Mr. Gabin. Those were the four. Mr. Austin, you are welcome. Oh, yeah, I'm terribly sorry. Mr. John Schierman, on behalf of the ANC. I'm terribly sorry, Commander John. Yeah. Can you switch on the mic?
No, I'm not doing that, Chair. The Communist Party wrote to indicating that it is going to make its own presentation. We made that in advance. The South African Communist Party did write indicating that it is going to make its own presentation. And also written submission.
Listen, the one you indicated also, right?
As I indicated, I was aware of what I sat to and the ANC, but I think the SACP is a member, you know, he's just requesting.
Requesting, you are more than welcome to make any input, but as I know, Mr. John Schiedman from the ANC is definitely on the list. And at this stage, I also want to welcome our fellow member, Member Kaya Makaka. Welcome, Member Kaya. It's good to see you. And leave that cap behind for me. Eh? My head is getting a bit cold. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jefferson. Good evening, colleagues and ladies and gentlemen, and comrades. We're going to address seven issues as identified in the bill, and we'll start with the Western Cape School Evaluation Authority. Now, we want to say, first of all, that this particular WCSEA undermines Section 23.5 of the Constitution of the country, because Section 23.5 guarantees collective bargaining. We've got a collective agreement in place. It is called the Integrated Quality Management System, and the introduction of the Western Cape School Evaluation Authority undermines collective bargaining, and therefore we want to call that that is ultra vires, and the committee must ensure that that particular committee does not see the light of day. Secondly, it contains some controversial matters, which the department has highlighted. One includes the seizure of documents at school without any notification. Now, we're saying that the Western Cape Education Department, through its chief evaluator, cannot usurp the responsibility of the asset forfeit unit. Therefore, we're saying that that particular matter raised in the C needs to be declared illegal as well. Secondly, we want to say that we both have two other entities. One is NIDO, at the national level, performing the same duties, and secondly, the whole school evaluation unit, which the department has alluded to in the presentation. We're saying that you cannot use the budget, which is from the Department of Education, to fund your C activity. Therefore, we want to ask the committee to reject the bill in that regard. Secondly, let's speak about the legal analysis between the conflict of laws nationally and provincially. Now, that is the test there is in terms of Section 5 of the Constitution, whether a provincial legislature can exist with a national legislature being there. Now, we all know the principle applied in the Constitution that national legislation takes preference over provincial legislation. Now, I want to refer you to the following judgment. It is in ex parte president of the Department of South Africa in the Constitutional Court, and it related to the liquor bill. And it had a principal decision made to say that provincial legislation will be overridden by national legislation if the economic effect in Schedule 5 functionally has the effect of the fragmentation of the economy of the country. So if you want to have a fragmentation of the education system, the Standing Committee will be judged in history for allowing for fragmentation of the offer. Therefore, we're calling upon yourselves to ensure that you do not allow that particular bill to be passed by the particular legislature. Secondly, we want to say that there's a subordinate legislation which has the status of a collective agreement. So therefore, 8 of 20, 2003 has a subordinate legislation to national legislation. Therefore, provincial legislation cannot override the national collective agreement. Let me go further on to speak about collaboration schools. First of all, it's ultra-virus, it conflicts with the African Schools Act. The African Schools Act is very clear that the parent component of any school governing body would always have to be in the majority. The proposal for donor schools as well as collaboration schools presupposed that the MEC or the minister as called in this province is able to allow for 50% plus one or 50% of the school governing body in the case of donor and collaboration schools. That's in conflict with the national legislation. It cannot be allowed. We want to refer you to our written submission, the last article in the document, which you gave to you the previous hearing, which gives you an analysis of what the effect of collaboration schools, semi-private schools, charter schools, as well as schools, the bridge academies, and the academies, which is model is based on from the UK. We want to go further to you, speak about intervention facilities. We want to remind the department and the standing committee that it's in contravention of White Paper 6. White Paper 6 calls for inclusive education. We are saying that it needs to have inclusivity in a school and the starting of intervention facilities, segregating of learners with behavioral problems is a challenge. Let me go further to remind, it also contradicts the Children's Act, which makes provision for child and youth care centres to be created. The third last one is on promotion and progression of learners. The bill says that the province can make their own promotion and progression requirements. It's a national competency. We are saying that the department has ample opportunity both in HEDCOM and the CEM to make the submissions around minimum social assessment policies, and then we cannot have one assessment policy chairperson in the Western Cape and another assessment policy in the rest of the country. What happens if a learner from Gauteng comes to the Western Cape? That person has not met the assessment criteria to promote in the Western Cape, but has passed in another province. We're going to cause a fragmentation of the economy, and therefore it will be challengeable in the Constitutional Court. Let's speak about improvement and monitoring of support of curriculum. Furthermore, it's once again in contravention of 8 of 2003. We know the position in terms of collective agreement status, and therefore we cannot allow the introduction of a quasi-inspector system in this province, where we have nothing left. Last but not least, we want to speak about the sale of alcohol. It undermines the hard work that educators have been doing for many years to ensure that we do not have substance and alcohol abuse within our society. We've campaigned for a long time. We will not have shebeens and off sales and other places near to our school gates. When we have school functions, there's no need for us to have alcohol. There's a need for us to have a culture where we can be entertained and celebrate without any alcohol.
Committee, listening and taking
the inputs from the various stakeholders. So we have the one from SATU. Thank you so much. And Mr. Carr, you next. You're more than welcome.
Good evening, Mulvaney. In the name of God, the beneficent, the merciful. We ask refuge from God, from Satan, the rejected one, that is a WCED. because the Western Cape Anti-Education Department.
Yeah.
It is for far too long that this Anti-Education Department has tried to undermine the poor communities. Not long ago, the same department tried to close the schools of the poor. We place on record our strongest opposition to this bill in its totality. Your decision is draconian and nothing else but a verdict of a political nature. Your colonialist, oppressive forefathers throughout history have tried everything in their power to destroy the future of black people in this country by denying us access to a proper education. You are nothing else.
Corruption has become synonymous with the DA.
afford to pay obscene amounts of school fees to pay for the upkeep of government schools. Parents have to pay for the electricity, water and refuse removal. We have to pay for the security and even for our teachers. What a shame. What do you think? We pay for the electricity and water. Do you pay for your electricity and water, you officers? Give Zelda the good news. This is all coming to an end. We refuse to pay school fees. The parents are not ATM machines. We have made the Western Cape ungovernable. The people have decided to make this Western Cape governable. Zilla does not know how to govern. She only knows how to siphon money from the poor. She wants to impose a capitalist ideology on us. I shortened this because...
Thank you. good. Our next input is coming from Equal Education in the person of Ronay McFarland.
Thank you for the opportunity. My name is Ronay McFarland. I'm representing Equal Education, which is a member-based mass organization of parents, learners and teachers campaigning for equity in the South African education system. At the outset, it's worth mentioning that EE is participating in this process because we're generally concerned about the lack of public participation in this process. However, we are concerned that we are spending all this time and energy debating whether to duplicate existing evaluation processes or whether elite schools should be allowed to sell alcohol at school activities. And yet we're not discussing an issue that affects thousands of learners in this province, which is the issue of learner safety. We hope that this committee will join us insisting that the WCED and other stakeholders such as SAP and community safety urgently address this issue and ensure that learners in this province are safe in school. Having noted this, I will proceed with EE's submission on this bill, which relates to the four main proposals: collaboration and donor-funded schools, the school evaluations authority, intervention facilities, and the sale of alcohol in schools. It is EE's view that these amendments are variously unlawful and unconstitutional, contrary to the spirit of democracy and redress in education, redundant and unlikely to improve education outcomes, and in some cases potentially directly harmful. It's worth noting that at least three of these proposals either directly contradict national legislation or seeks to circumvent national laws and policies, creating the impression that the WCED sees itself as not beholden to national education processes. We hope that the National Minister, Angie Motshekga, is paying attention and that she'll respond adequately. When it comes to collaboration schools, EE would like to note at the outset that we are not opposed to providing support to schools, especially those that need it most. What we are opposed to is the assumption that one cannot come alongside communities to provide support and work together with communities to provide improvement. The assumption that taking control over schools is the only way to ensure improvement. We are not convinced that the SGB restructuring proposed in this amendment is necessary to achieve the outcomes that this project seeks to achieve. In fact, it's worth mentioning that although there's very little information available about it, these same donors are piloting a similar project in the Eastern Cape, which doesn't seem to involve the same SGB restructuring. Yet in this province, they are saying that it's impossible to run this project without giving school operating partners a significant stake on school governing bodies. Existing, consisting of and being voted by school community members, SGBs play an incredibly important role in the education system. They provide a counterbalance to provincial and national government. But now this proposal seeks to introduce a system where the SGB composition and the representatives thereof are appointed by the very provincial government, entirely undermining this principle. We cannot help but wonder how stakeholders involved in this project would have responded if the governance, their own say in the governance of the schools that their children attend were restructured in a similar way, and was the governance of that school was given over to private stakeholders with little experience in education. It's important to note that the narrative that suggests that an opposition to collaboration schools is an opposition to providing schools with support is misleading. It is the structure of support that donors and the WCED must and have failed to justify. EE is concerned that the empowering legislation proposed here today is incredibly vague. It's absurd that's legislation that directly contradicts national legislation, and detracts from the rights of learners, parents, and teachers to govern their own schools, is not at minimum very carefully circumscribed, setting out specific criteria in terms of which it applies. Yet there's no guiding criteria provided in the legislation as to how collaboration schools will be identified. The provision that the MEC must declare a school a collaboration school, if it's in the interest of education at the school, is incredibly vague and leaves the MEC with an impermissibly wide discretion. There is further no criteria as to criteria that school operating partners and donors must meet before they are given the significant stake on a school governing body. For instance, there's no criteria that they must have education experience. EE has to fight to ensure that school operating partners are limited to non-profit organizations, but there's no such criteria for donors, who in the case of donor-funded schools could be afforded up to a majority representation on school governing bodies. It is incredibly sad that the WCED has arrived at a point where it's willing to create a system that could see private companies, so to say, buy a majority representation on public school governing bodies without any legislation that protects schools and school communities against abuses by such companies. There is also no clarity as to whether these schools will have selective admissions policies and whether they will charge fees. On the website of one of the funders, it explains that these schools are non-profit, no-fee-paying, and non-selective schools. But there are no guarantees in the legislation that this will continue to be the case. Since the inception of this project, this has been a problem, that this project is marketed as one thing, yet the legislation says something entirely different. It is further frighteningly unclear what accountability mechanisms are in place and who ultimately has oversight over the project. And what happens when a school operating partner pulls out of a school or a school ceases to become a collaboration school? These are important questions. We know of at least one school that is now on its third operating partner since 2016 and has been without an operating partner for between 3 and 6 months of this year. Yet the bill provides no guidance how the WCED will ensure stability at the school given such developments. Further, if parental and community buy-in is as important as donors and the WCED have argued in presentations on this project, why does the bill not compel the MEC to consult SGPs and parents before declaring a school a collaboration school? Furthermore, in 2016, the WCED established a pilot project with the intent of conducting a sort of experiment to see the merits of this project. Now, despite various requests by EE, we have not seen any research conducted on this project or evaluations being published or made available to the public. Notably, evidence on similar models in other parts of the world are decidedly mixed, as Satu has pointed out. Now the WCED is on the brink of passing legislation, a move we know is unlikely to be reversed once these findings from this so-called experiment are made available. We urge this committee not to pass the bill before it has seen research related to this project and released it for the public to consider. Otherwise, we are merely legislating in the dark. As a final point on collaboration schools, we must ask whether the WCED's lawmaking at the behest of private donors is responsible. Donors will come and go, but our public schools and the laws that govern them will remain with us for much longer. In the current climate of rocketing national debt and debt servicing costs, government departments will increasingly start looking towards the private sector and international philanthropists to bolster budgets. We have to ensure that the arrangements that flow from the shortfall in social funding have an alternative that we are comfortable with, and that in the process we don't create undemocratic systems that we will later come to regret. Those are our inputs on collaboration schools. I now move on to the school evaluation authority. Once again, the WCD is proposing a process that subverts existing national processes. Now, it's worth saying again that E is not opposed to accountability measures in schools. What we are opposed to is a process designed to punish and shame schools without providing them with the necessary support to improve. It's already been mentioned tonight that this evaluation body duplicates the existing whole school evaluations framework, which works through the districts. Also, the HOD is already empowered to send an individual to evaluate a school. So how is this evaluations authority any different? It doesn't fit into the current structure and therefore possibly could lead to parallel processes and a waste of state resources. Furthermore, the body lacks independence. Although the WCD has sought to argue otherwise, the reality is that the body reports directly to the political head, who has full discretion to hire and fire the chief evaluator, to determine the remuneration, and to dissolve the body. How can the WCD argue that this body is independent? Furthermore, it fails to fill the gaps in existing frameworks. Complaints around the existing structure is that circuit managers tend to arrive at schools to evaluate schools without providing schools with the necessary support to respond. But this bill is notably thin on what the support responsibilities of this evaluation body will be. We think this follows a worrying global trend of over-relying on monitoring in and of itself to result in better teaching. Merely telling teachers what they are doing wrong, and in this case, publishing it to the public, will not result in improvement. Anyone who works in education knows that this is not how school improvement works. Furthermore, because this body isn't independent, it's not set up in a way to evaluate the entire education system, from the school level right through the districts to the education department itself, creating an easy way for the department to blame schools for failures that are of a more systemic failure nature. If anything, it is districts and the provincial departments that lack accountability. EE also notes that some forms of accountability may be harmful. We are generally concerned about the uncritical transferal of market-based approaches, such as performance management, to education. As the latest UNESCO Global Monitoring Report notes, it's often very ill-suited to the education space. Education simply is not a business, and learning isn't a product to be sold. It is EE's understanding that this new evaluation body is modeled on Ofsted, the UK's school inspectorate. Research shows that running Ofsted is not only expensive, but that it's resulted in an onerous amount of paperwork, record keeping, and excessive lesson-by-lesson planning for teachers. Teachers have mentioned that they've experienced it as harmful to the quality of teaching because they end up spending valuable teaching time preparing for inspections or focusing on a narrow curriculum. We believe that this will only result in burdening teachers further with administration, and I'm sure any teacher in this room will be able to tell you that that they're already incredibly overburdened with such. We're also worried that this SEA is likely to focus...
Sorry, Ronnie. Can you perhaps wrap up now?
Yes,
sorry, the time is...
That's fine. I'll make two short points on intervention facilities and the sale of alcohol. So just to say on intervention facilities that EE believes that it's the provisions in the bill as they stand are unpermissibly vague. They don't clarify whether the main purpose of these facilities will be to provide education or therapeutic programs. And this isn't inconsequential because a learner can be sent to these facilities for up to 12 months. So we need to know what type of education will be provided. And we also think the determination that it will be learners who are found guilty of serious misconduct is too broad, and that needs to be more clearly defined. In the absence of any clarity in the bill, we also want to state that if this is a return to the reform school model, we believe that that's a regressive step. It's widely known what negative impact those school models had on learners. And then just to echo what everyone else in this room has already said, we believe the move to allow the sale of alcohol on school premises is entirely unacceptable. It's inconsiderate to the context in which we find ourselves, where we know alcohol abuse is an issue. It contradicts national and provincial laws and policies, and we believe it should be scrapped in its entirety. In conclusion, I'd like to say, we truly hope that this committee will carefully consider this bill and push back where the WCED has been irresponsible in its lawmaking. Our point is not that we should remain stuck in existing systems without any room for imagination, no. But changes, especially in law, should be introduced thoughtfully, with sufficient evidence and without undermining core constitutional principles. The proposed legislation falls short on all these points. Thank you.
For an exhaustive input, I must first apologize for interrupting you, but I think we are running, unfortunately, out of time, and this is not the ideal situation. I would like people to talk, but unfortunately we are limited by time, but thank you very, very much for the detailed input from Equal Education side. Now we have Mr. Chris Hart from Natosa. Mr. Chris Hart, if you can stick to your time frame.
Chairperson, I'll try to do so. Good evening, Chairperson and members of the Provincial Standing Committee, friends, colleagues and comrades. I need to just comment at the outset. I represent NAPTOSA, which is an organization that has approximately 10,000 teacher members in the Western Cape, and we are submitting a written submission as well as our verbal submission. Also like to note that we decided to split our submission into two halves. One half was presented at PAL last week and the other half now. So we're not commenting on all of the areas. However, I would like to say that what has already been said by other speakers about collaboration schools and about the proposal to introduce shebeens into schools, those things we fully support. I'm going to start with our initial view about this bill. We are very concerned that this bill contains a number of sections which are in our view in conflict with the South African Schools Education, the Employment of Educators Act, Sections 23 and Sections 5 of the Constitution, in particular for teachers, an erosion of the rights of educators to collective bargaining. We are also concerned that the way this bill is written not only weakens the powers and overrides the powers of national legislation, which of course is something that it cannot do, it also weakens the powers of school governing bodies, and it creates, in our view, excessive powers for the MEC or Minister of Education in the Western Cape. There are too many clauses which allow the minister to make decisions about things, and too little detail in this bill to actually define critical areas that need to be covered. Having said that, we also note that there are a couple of areas where we feel there are critical absences in this bill. One of them is actually the area around school safety and security. We note that the original Parents Bill, the Western Cape Provincial School Education Act 12 of 1997, had a clause that dealt over access of unauthorized persons and the safety of learners and employees at schools, and this has not been amplified or has been given any attention to. It is our concern that the Western Cape government and Education Department is neglecting the issue of school safety at its peril. In terms of the two areas we want to comment on, the first one is with reference to the School Evaluation Authority. School Evaluation Authority is, to us, something that should not exist. We note the comment of Equal Education earlier on. We know that some of the ideas for the School Evaluation Authority, Chairperson, Acting Chairperson.
Okay, I'm protecting you. Please, can we have silence from the speaker? Thanks.
Thank you. We note that the proposals around the School Evaluation Authority are an attempt to override national legislation such as the South African Schools Act, the Employment of Educators Act, and associated collective agreements. And we believe that this, in fact, is a very serious matter, and were the bill to actually become enacted and promulgated, we believe that this bill, as a new law in the Western Cape, would just be subject to endless litigation, attempts at all sorts of activities to block it, and in fact the bill will not be a successful one as an act at all. In terms of the School Evaluation Authority, we have a number of problems with this other than the legal one. In our view, the legal one is the most serious one, particularly for teachers, the overriding of collective agreements 3 and 8 of 2003. These govern educator assessment, IQMS, and whole school evaluation. And it is in conflict with these. So for this reasoning, we must reject the entire proposal for the school's evaluation authority. But we also want to note that this bill also has internal inconsistencies and incongruities. The powers of this are in the bill derived from the provincial minister. This is understandable, but the line function reporting to the minister leaves no clear path for any appeals process, which must be included. In our view, the only appeals process for this is to the premier of the province. Is that the intention of this bill? We'd also suggest that reporting to the minister deprives the education department of a line function that should actually be part of its internal structures. And so we think that the thinking in this bill is clearly muddled up and is inconsistent. And this bill is also unclear as to whether... Okay, the bill's unclear as to whether the role of the Evaluation Authority is primary to investigate complaints or whether it is to conduct cyclical evaluations. The trial periods that this bill has allowed the SEA to operate, apparently some 50 schools have been evaluated by the SEA, has worked on 5 focus areas, leaving out 4 of the 9 focus areas that form part of whole school evaluation. As far as we can understand, important areas such as school safety and security, school infrastructure, and the role of parents in the community have been left out in these evaluations. And that to us is a great concern. We are completely dismayed by the complete absence in the bill of any indication of proposals for intervention and improvement of the quality of teaching and learning in schools. Identification of any systemic weakness is only one side of a process, and the creation of focused and innovative programs to improve the quality of teaching and learning is absent. And this
Mr. Hart,
is a very significant
you.
Undermining
Mr.
of the
Mr. Hart, thank you for your submission. You have to then submit that in writing.
Yes, we will do so. Thank you.
Mr. Kabir, you are next.
Thank you, Chair. I won't take up too much time, but let's just start at the beginning, I think. In order for us to understand this bill, I think what we need to do is to look at the context of what is proposed and also the personalities of the champions of this bill. And I think it's important for us to do this because in order for us to understand where we are going, we need to know where we come from. So the primary champion of this bill is the premier of this province and the NEC. And it should come as no surprise to any of us here, considering the pro-colonial views of the Premier as she articulated in the tweets over the last year. When the Premier mentions the benefits of colonialism, we look at the context in reference to this particular bill and we can see the reintroduction of certain elements of colonialist views. And I'd like to refer you to a recent interview held with Sizwe Glomo on her colonial worldview. And he says, in this interview, makes the following claim, your biases, whether you are aware of them or not, makes it unlikely for you to be able to accurately weigh up the negatives of colonialism versus these positives you speak of. It shows a lack of empathy and reasoning. It also shows a lack of intelligent leadership. And Glomo then states that Zilla showed no remorse. This is a personality that we are dealing with. This is a person out of touch with the reality facing the majority of South Africans. This is a personality that the DA retains as the face and voice of the Western Cape.
Yeah,
it is therefore no surprise that this is also the champion of this bill.
I'm sorry, Mr. Gabir.
Yeah, hold up.
The bill speaks to the...
Yeah, I'm getting to that. Thank you, Chair. And I want to make reference to two examples, but you know, and there are many others. But firstly, let's look at the first one. The Premier ignores national legislation that supersedes a provincial mandate. A blatant disregard for the law when she herself feels free to break these laws and consumes alcohol on the school premises. And here's a picture. Alright? Here's a picture. This is the proof of that. And this principal is currently under investigation and this Premier is intervening in that investigation. So she wishes to apply the laws and the rules when it suits her, but not in the Libby Summits and certainly not at the school where her own chief is. This is an MEC and a Premier who have been the architects of a bill that not only serves as a platform to further widen the gap between the haves and the have-nots. And let us question this directly. Which school do we think that this bill speaks to? Now, point number one. The school evaluation authority. The predominant schools where this is going to be the schools in the townships and in the sub-economic areas. Number two, the intervention centers, which is a euphemism for reform schools. Whose kids are going to be sent to those schools? Number three, collaboration and donor schools. Here it gets interesting because the minister, the MEC, sorry, because there's only one minister, which is not fair. But the minister has given herself broad-ranging powers to declare any school a collaboration school as it stands, as it's written there, which undermines the ability of parents to be involved in the democratic process and having a say in the kids' education. And again, which school will be affected by this? The very same schools in the townships and the sub-economic areas. But here's the funny bit. Oddly, the sale and consumption of alcohol on the school premises. Now this is not for us. This is for the schools in the leafy suburbs. The one, the boys and the sexes in Orlando. The heads of unions in Orlando. The poor boys and boys in Orlando. This is the one of the schools in the leafy suburbs where the donors to a party to the DA specifically don't appreciate what colonialism has done to this country and where they whisper to each other that the black people should be thankful for what colonialism did. Where they enjoy the benefits of colonialism and apartheid and have cheese and wines, evenings and sporting events and the beer tents on public-owned property maintained on minimum wage. This allows for huge amounts of funds to be raised for these schools which will widen the education gap, but more importantly, the social gap between the leafy suburbs and the townships. These elite schools have become sanctuaries of privilege, and this proposed act, this nonsense, is it's nonsense, will be to reinforce and entrench this ideology. As we move forward to a new and a better South Africa, we cannot allow colonial mindsets and worldviews to be given a platform in any shape and form. And this is exactly what this proposed act is. A way to entrench the colonial mindsets of our institutions of learning. And I promise you, it will only be a matter of time before Madam Zilla tweets about how the world-class schools in the leafy suburbs are a product of that colonialism. Watch the space, I promise you.
You still have 5 minutes. No, you still have 5 minutes.
I still have 5 minutes. I'm we seem to have a blatantly racist document scrap, and the authors of this document exposed, so that we have any attempt to take this process further, immediately brought to arm. And I think this is important, and Mr. Christians, I raise this with you in part. And I'm one of the few people, just listen to this please, I'm one of the few people that have gone to more than one hearing. And you know what I find funny, or very interesting at least, is that here these officials sit, and it's not against them, but they have tweaked and fine-tuned this presentation that they have made at every single hearing, from the first objection till we are now. We ain't African college, and I'm not picking on you, man, like, I quite like you. And skimming through the elements and the important bits of this bill, and I'm telling you that this is, it is being refined and refined, and the argument is being tweaked so that they can convince you that this is good. And I can convince, I don't need to convince you, you've already heard what it is that I have to say. And I think, Mr. Christians, from your perspective as head of SCOPA, that all the costs incurred, no, I'm serious, in the drafting of this bill, need to be made public, and they talk about accountability and transparency. And investigated this, including the consultants who were paid in drafting this bill. Now I want to ask you something. You talk about, one of the things that was raised there was accountability and transparency, that this bill seeks to enhance what we currently have. And I agree that there is no accountability and there is no transparency. And I want to bring about something here, and you know, the school where my son goes, and I spoke about this last week. My son, you know, he goes to school in the Fiji suburbs, and maybe I'm to blame for that because that is my own issue. Unfortunately. All right, but it was a school that we all love, so that's the closest school, and you know, the principal believes that the school is all that, but it's actually not. In fact, there's a current investigation right now that is being, I don't know in which stage it is, but I have a parent who later complained about theft of public money, my money, that your she money. Is studying for herself, that she was not entitled to, number one, all right, and that she stole, effectively stole, is not being investigated and is not being concluded. Now, we have the transparency on that. You talk about transparency when it suits the department, when it becomes something as a matter of employee-employee. Right? But you talk about wanting to come and fetch documents from schools to go and influence and male teachers. Right? But they don't look at the social conditions. They don't look at the society, the impact on society. So you know what? I'm done. You know, I said it in Paul and I said it in Oxford, right? This bill is garbage. It really is garbage. And the people who wrote it need to be held to account for even bringing it to us. And Mr. Parliament has said, what we see is that the bill is not to bring this to the public. How much millions of rand was brought to this to bring it to this point? Because we have education and everyone else has put in time and effort in opposing this. 2016 when it was first tabled. 2017! And it's the same crap that was brought to us again in 2018. What a shame on this MEC and on the Premier, because she is the champion of this nonsense. Thank you.
And all other provincial legislation must firstly comply with the Act
and secondly work within the guidelines laid out in the REAM. The Western Cape Amendment Bill is promised first to meet the first, also the second criteria mentioned. SASSA allows for two types of schools, which we say public schools and independent schools. Public schools and the related governance issues are clearly stipulated in the Act, and the SGB criteria are clearly spelled out. The four areas that was already set by SATU and Equal Education, we say that it's unconstitutional. The establishment of schools evaluation authority, the establishment of collaboration schools and donor funded schools, intervention centers, and lastly the highly controversial introduction of the sale and consumption of alcohol on social premises. I don't want to repeat those things that have already been said, but when it comes to the establishment of the Western Cape Schools Evaluation Authority, the question that remains is that at what salary levels will the SGEA staff be remunerated, and how will this be funded when the WCED is unable to provide adequate services with existing budget constraints currently experienced? I don't want to repeat the things that have already been said. When it comes to the collaboration and donor schools, we strongly disagree that the contravention of the Act with the imposal of 50% voting rights of the SGB by the collaboration and donors. This legislation does not allow for any external parties to have seats on the SGB, and parents are always in the majority of the voting rights of SGBs. So we can't support that. I move on to the next point, intervention centers. The intervention facilities have been likened to reform schools. The bill allows for the removal of parents involved in their children's education. We cannot support that. And then I want to move to the last point, and I want to emphasize that the MEC and Cabinet have willfully ignored the history of the Western Cape. Their own social services and health department statistics when it comes to understanding the levels of substance abuse, specifically alcohol within the province. So if a learning institution is at the forefront of selling alcohol, we're actually now supporting the idea that the abuse of alcohol can be tolerated. It is also clear, if I listen to the inputs of the previous speaker, it seems that already the Act is contravened in the sense that there are already schools selling alcohol at their premises. And this bill now intends to actually to legalize those schools that are already selling illegal alcohol at the premises. We've got a four-page input, and I try to circumvent by sparing some time. I will end in this submission, four-page submission. Thank you very much.
We thank Mr. John Schiedman of the ANC, and you're more than welcome. Those portions that you left out in terms of your oral representation, you can hand in as a fully-fledged written representation. Most welcome. Now we ask for the input of the SACP, South African Communist Party.
Thanks, sir. The first point the SACP would like to make is that this bill is yet another attempt by this provincial government to build a republic within a republic. The Communist Party want to reject the notion in the bill which seeks to suggest that Shafer is a minister. He is not a minister, he is an MEC. There is only one minister, the minister is in Jimosek. It must therefore respect intergovernmental relations framework. The SACP rejects the creation of parallelism in the context of the evaluation mechanism, undermining the national framework in this front. There is no need for it because it exists at the national level. What is required is to work on the outcomes of the already existing system. The Communist Party believes that the national legislation supersedes provincial legislation, so there is no need for this government to persist with this bill. On the question of attempt to introduce shebeens in schools, you are invited, MEC, to introduce a shebeen in your own backyard, not in our own. The Communist Party believes that this government of this province is insensitive of the challenges working class schools faces in this province, and continue to seek to introduce the consumption of alcohol. Actually, let me remind you, not so long ago, this government, provincial government, still pursues this route even after a school had to abort its fanfare in Wenbeck. Police had to be called in to intervene when school fanfare went horribly wrong, after school children misbehaved after the influence of alcohol, as reported by the media on the 19th of May 2018. Now, you are still persisting and you are passionate in talking about presenting this particular question. On the issue of collaboration, the SACP says education of a working class child is not for sale for those who have money.
Psycho and emotional support for learners, educators and the community we serve.
our background and experiences in housing, where we focus on developing relationships with the community. This is the same for the schools. Getting buy-in from the school community and the community it serves is important, one of the most important aspects for us and that we focus on. As this, the collaboration pilot is a partnership, a two-way stream working together. We work in Oakley schools as stipulated by the collaboration pilot model. I don't believe I need to elaborate why Oakley schools are eligible for extra support. Side note, two of our schools we support are in an area my relatives live in. I'm invested in this on many levels. As an organisation rooted in working in the community and supporting the community, we don't want to interfere or impose in any school. Our support is our key driver. And this is the same for the SGB in our school, and I know this is a big topic in the bill, as well as the collaboration pilot. With regards to the SGB, we, as Mel and Educate, have never exercised the 50%. Our focus is on what expertise, knowledge, and support we can bring to the table. So I do believe there is motivation for the SOP to have seats on the SGB to share their knowledge. I would like to close with the question, should we as SOPs or donors have to motivate for, as protocol, for our SGB seats? However, our places on the SGB is significant to have an overview on what is happening into the school, in the schools, and support accordingly and appropriately. Finally, our approach to the collaboration pilot is with the mindset of the power of the collective. Together we can work together to bring change. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Can we just get calm? We thank Ms. Olya H. for her input. And do you want to make an input? You're welcome. Just mention your name. We still have time. Extremely limited. You have 2 minutes.
Inkosi mhlali ngaphambili nizawuba njengomgqibo sikilifa. Mhlali ngaphambili, let me start with the issue of collaboration schools. I'm grateful that I speak after the lady that has already understanding of this program of theirs that they want to bring that we don't know. Firstly, the power that I be allows parents to be involved and active in the lives of the learners at school. Now, cutting that down, say, as good to all the Wangulu, Baza Funu Soloko, the Kotwa Imifa. Now, we're trying to avoid such a situation. Say, as the Banalamata Gusha, when they have money, they always want to have a say in it. So that's something that we don't want. We don't want the limitation for the school governing bodies that to have access in terms of running of the school and decision making. Let me also move into the intervention facilities, which is something that I stand against. This notion is going to put, especially to us as black learners at our black community schools, in terms of saying behavioral things, because now we're going to introduce a system that is similar to a correctional service just because of a particular way that you act, and therefore a particular individual that sits in an office decides of where you should be placed, and therefore where you are placed, you don't even have a say in it, you just must oblige. Last thing, apparently, on the issues of ukufaka kwezimoto esikolweni, I think it's something that I stand against fully. As a province, we still have a bulk of people that suffered from the dope system in the past. And when I was still in the student movement, we fought for substance abuse in our schools. And therefore, bring it back, it means that the gains of the things that we have tried to do to make sure that we have safer schools for learners, that they come to an environment, including their parents, who are supposed to be active citizens. And therefore, those are some of the things that I wanted to make submissions to. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your quick and succinct input, very relevant. Can we just get your name and your organization, if possible?
Samkelo Mqombothi, I am just a consultant.
My name is Benjamin Zantsi. I am part of the Provincial Working Committee of the South African Youth Council of the Western Cape. The South African Youth Council would like to understand from whoever is responsible for this so-called bill, how can a government that cannot contain or curb the use and the sale of cigarettes in school, how can this government contain and curb the sale and use of alcohol in schools? Because Nyaupe is sold in schools, cigarettes are sold in schools, this government has no control. Alcoholism is one of the highest, or is one of the causes of the high dropout rate in township and farm schools in this very province. So how is this bill protecting the young person? The South African Youth Council is concerned. A department that allows people to drink and sell alcohol in the school premises, the same school where our parents, when they send us to that school, they have hopes that we will move away from alcoholism, which is currently destroying our nation. The South African Youth Council would like to actually advise the WCED and this portfolio committee that if they want to propose a bill, how about a bill on compulsory and functional labs in school? How about a bill on compulsory tablets for every learner? How about a bill?
As a general rule, alcohol has not been allowed on school premises. Why are we
changing? Is it because there is a demand from members of the public to do that? Assuming without conceding that there is a demand, in order to change law, there has to be guideline. One, that has to be moral. Two, it has to be just and equitable in the circumstances. So the question is, having alcohol on our school premises, it being after school or any other time, is it moral? Well, putting aside the issue of morality because it's controversial and subjective, is it just and equitable in the South African situation now with the issues that have been raised by other colleagues and comrades? We have a problem of alcoholism, we have a crime rate, and many other things. So is it time now that we can even be discussing alcohol usage on our environment? The answer is clear that no, we cannot. Therefore, that is our position, that unless we have this promulgation of this bill, automatically wants to eradicate and solve our young learners. But as it is now, this is not the time to be talking of this.
Thank you very much. Ernest input. I'm taking the very last one, that this is a grand finale.
Thanks, I'll be very brief. My name is Roscoe Jacobs, I'm a youth activist. I would like to ask why we're fixing something if it's not broken. So let's see, we have all these national policies, but we're not hearing arguments from those that are presenting to us as to why we should put in place, you know, provincial policies that will actually strengthen the work that these national policies are supposed to be doing. So I think we should also come to a point where politicians need to stop shifting focus and responsibility from what they're supposed to be doing, because we should be here talking about safe schools. We're in a province where at least one young person dies on schools every year since Devi Shankar has been appointed as the MEC of Education. Young people in our schools are dying. They are not safe. Neither are teachers either. So we should be talking about real issues, and we should be talking about issues that are going to advance a radical economic transformation. And as young people, we are saying that education is that weapon of choice for us to advance radical economic transformation. I want to briefly touch on collaboration schools. My problem with this thing of collaboration schools is almost as if they are saying that as black people, we are capable of managing the resources that are there to actually assist us in taking our children and taking our schools and our communities forward. So why is it when white people come with money, they need to manage that money? We are more than capable of doing that. We've been doing it for years, surviving on our own without their help, without their resources. So it's not necessarily needed. If they want to assist, it shouldn't be with that precondition. And that is the input that I want to give here. So lastly, again, let us talk about real issues and let us stop wasting time. Young people are dying. An attack on a school, an unsafe school, is an attack on radical economic transformation. Thank you.
Roscoe, thank you very much for your input. And now I'm in conclusion, I'm going to give a quick punchline for each of the members, if they just to round off, if those who want to have something to say.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Chair, the very first hearing you will recall that took place in Caledon. And at that meeting we made the point that the authors of this bill, the Premier and the MEC for Education, should come and listen to what people are saying. This is now the final hearing, and still we have a situation where the Premier as well as the MEC have not bothered to come and actually listen to what people are saying about the bill that they initiated, and they expect these officials to come and defend and explain. I want to register, Chairperson, that was a resolution of our committee that the Premier and the MEC should be invited to come and listen. They did not come and listen, and I want to register a serious concern about that. Secondly, I think it is very clear that from Caledon, members have expressed their serious reservations about this particular bill. That has been said in Riversdale, it has been said in Oudtshoorn, it has been said in the West Coast, and the same issue also came out in Paarl for those that attended that particular meeting. We have the teacher unions here, across historical divides, if you want to put it like that, both SATU as well as NAPTOSA. You have student organizations coming up. Chairperson, I cannot remember any particular motivation from any member of the public which has indicated support for this bill. And I think we should make the point that it was this province, once again led by the Premier, that tried to amend the Constitution and avoid appointing a Children's Commissioner, which was a long and expensive process, which in the end resulted when the people across this province rejected it and said we want a Children's Commissioner. The Premier promised this province in 2009 that she would appoint a Children's Commissioner. It is now 2018 and we still do not have that, yet we have an attempt to introduce a bill which fundamentally attacks public education. The last point that I want to make, and I think it was interesting that there was someone here who made something of a case for collaboration schools. The problem is that, as we have indicated, everyone supports the issue of partnerships at schools. You want people to come in and contribute and to assist building public education. But effectively what we have here, and international experience has shown us the danger of charter schools, what we essentially have here is an attempt to actually privatize public education by putting other interests in charge of the running of our schools. Why can't the donors, who the person who presented here and others, come in with a genuine offer to help with teacher development? And the last point is, Chair, what we should be discussing is why, with the equitable share allocation, can this provincial government, using that equitable share, not improve the teacher-pupil ratio? Why can they not use that money to help secure our schools and make them safer? Instead, the Premier's department has 1.3 billion rand towards ICT and so-called e-education. We support what the South African Youth Council person said. Yes, we need tablets in our schools. The issue is, it's about how we prioritize this budget. And that's why I think, Chair, we should pass a resolution to look at how much has all this process actually cost. When 2 years ago, the MEC and the Premier were warned that in fact key provisions of this legislation go against the South African Schools Act. What is actually happening here is an attempt by a desperate democratic alliance to try and create a sense that they are somehow different and better, whereas in fact the conditions in our schools, because of their failure to actually focus on the working class and poor schools, that have actually entrenched inequality. I think, Chair, we as a committee tonight, and at no other stage, must, as members of this committee, across political parties, reject this bill so that we do not waste any more time on something which is fundamentally against equal education for all of our learners.
Thank you, Chair. I don't want to play the politics that Member Dagmar is trying to play. The reality is we cannot take that resolution because this is not the process. The legal process is not completed. So that's the one point that I need to categorically state. I mean, we can't come and play politics with the lives of people. The reality is the Premier has absolutely nothing to do with this problem. Because otherwise this entire process is a farce. because we haven't even we haven't even seen the written submissions. The second point is this.
Things went so well. I gave each one a fair chance to raise his or her opinions without prejudice and with empathy, understanding. So let's keep it that way.
What is your point of order, Mr. Gabir?
Sorry, Chair. Mr. Mitchell, Honorable Mr. Mitchell. He's new, he's a BT member on this committee. Mr. Leonard Max was at this process from the beginning. The fact that he hasn't made himself familiar with the documents that have been submitted to this committee over all the process is not our issue.
Yeah.
It's his issue. So he mustn't come and say, not play politics or play politics. Okay? This is unacceptable. He either read the documents and read the submission, and this is a farce. The whole process is a farce.
Without getting into a dialogue, we as a committee have not received the official submissions because it closes on Friday, but I'm not going to get into a dialogue. Chair, the point that I actually wanted to make was...
Can you give that speaker a chance?
With every bill comes regulations, right? So everything that's been introduced in the bill has obviously got a... regulations and how it will be implemented. So as a committee, we have a duty to see those regulations when it gets gazetted as part of the legal process. So we can't, those things are not submitted here, but that's the kind of resolution that we need to take, and that the department must also tell this committee or advise this committee when those regulations will be ready for consideration before we make a final recommendation or mandate on the either accepting or rejecting the bill. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Member Mitchell, Member Huerta. Member Christian.
Thank you, Chair. As we said from the start, and I think it was in the papers, that we reject this bill. We think it's a waste of money that could have been better utilized. And I think, Chair, just the fact that all the public meetings, the people came out and expressed their opinions. We have a sense that the people don't want this bill. We have that sense. We don't have to go read documents. We have it. And the important thing is, we will do that. SCOPA will check this because this is unnecessary waste of taxpayers' money that could have been better utilized. So I want to thank the people coming and voicing their opinions, because the days of being told what to do is over. Those people that are here that came out to oppose this bill, and I will do my utmost when I'm in committee to debate that this thing dies now, that it dies at all for us.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, we started in Caledon. We went to Oldson and we went to Clover, and we are tonight in the chamber. I feel very happy to be vindicated now. I stood in this very same house and I said we want to create our schools as shebeens. And I was threatened to be taken to the conduct committee, and I'm still waiting for a charge sheet. And today, the masses has spoken, and I feel vindicated that they feel the same way, that we want to create schools as shippings. I've warned and I've advised in the committee that let us not take this bill further than that committee meeting. The MEC withdrew the first round of the bill and reintroduced it again. Now, Chair, I just want to concur with the members. Whether we take the decision tonight, tomorrow, whenever, but the committee has just one simple decision to take. Unless you're taking it or you went to different public hearings, but from the public hearings we attended, all of them overwhelmingly rejected this in its entirety. They did not hesitate. They did not mix their words. They said this is ill-conceived. This is, some of them call it, garbage. Some called it nonsense. I'm not sure what else was this thing called. Now, whether that's now procedural or not, I think the decision is clear, Chair. Why wasting time on the, we can call a meeting tomorrow and decide on this thing. I don't want to wait till next year. I've told the MEC in this house what we are doing is against SASA, it's unconstitutional, it's shebeens that we are now creating where masses of our people struggle to get shebeens away from school. 100 meters when I checked that a shebeen should be in front, but now we bring it right into the school. Chair, I cannot sit here as a member of the public coming from that community. So I still stay in those communities. And we know how we suffer in those communities. Our schools are not safe, for an example. We're getting knives, kids use drugs in the premises of the school. Teachers are held hostage. There's 1 to 60 class ratios. And here we bring something else, which will really put us 100 feet back to where we are today. And Chair, I cannot sit here. And in fact, I can sit here. I will sleep very comfortably tonight. Maybe have a nice glass of wine tonight. And unless we take a different decision, I want to agree with those who are saying then we take a decision of our own, not that of the masses. Chair, my vote is very clear now. I'm very comfortable with my decision on this thing.
I think I have the opinions of the committee, and I'm going to ask the whole committee.
Yes, okay. Chair, I don't think it's correct for anyone in this House to be left under the impression, as Member Mitchell has tried to imply, that this is about regulations. The fundamental issue is whether this bill is against the provisions of this and in contradiction to the Schools Act and the Constitution. It's got nothing to do with regulations. What is before us is a draft bill. And the legal opinion, and Chair, we should note this, the legal opinion from our own advisor, the legislature's advisor, has made exactly the point that were made 2 years ago, that this bill is unconstitutional and against the Provisions Act. Unfortunately, Member Mitchell hasn't read the documents. He hasn't read NAPTO's submission. He hasn't read NAPTO's submission. And he hasn't read those. And he wants
to have a dialogue.
Regulation. This is not about regulation. This is our view on the proposed amendment to the Schools Act. Not about regulations.
Right, Member Dagmar, I think I've given you ample time now to state your case. Member Mitchell, I take note of your view also. And I'm ending this meeting now. And I can just say, looking at my watch, even in spite of the fact that we started 22 minutes late, we are only at this juncture 9 minutes later than we are supposed to stop. So somehow or other we worked in time. And I think I must congratulate my co-chairperson, Ms. Lorraine Botha also, for very strict application of her time limits. Thank you, Lorraine. And I'm asking the rest of the committee to stay behind. after we've adjourned, there are some serious, very serious and critical issues that have to be discussed. And I'm making, ek maak staat op julle samenwerking in die verband. Now, before we leave, let me just thank the WCD for making that presentation. I thank the members for their presence here and also in terms of their inputs and also their turning their heads around this contentious issues. Our support staff coordinator was Nasser Moosa and Marian Burgess on the other side and Ben Dasa, our senior coordinator, and the support staff, thank you very much. And last but not least, the most important people in this hall are you. I really thank you, my dear comrades and compatriots and friends and colleagues and soulmates, for being here tonight to come and hear your views, to come and familiarize yourself with the real issues, to get acclimatized to what's happening on the ground, and to raise your opinions in such a way, and I must say it, thank you for the way in which the meeting has been conducted, in terms of your cooperation, in terms of your participation and engagement and mutual respect. Sometimes we take these things for granted, but it has all to do, and I want you to give me a chance to talk about where those people are leaving. We take morality and ethics and value-laden issues and principles for granted, but they are not to be taken for granted. We are either born with those, and in the socialization process, it is growing on us and in us to make us proud South Africans who can stand up straight for restorative justice, for equity, for equality, for a new dawn of tomorrow, a new breaking of a new dawn, and with a new vision and a mission. And I wish you everything of the best in the organizations that you work. May it go well. In the NGOs, FBOs, CBOs, faith-based organizations, political organizations, may you take hands and work for a better dispensation. I thank you, good night, and good night.